Good morning. My name is Dan Ellman, and I'm a prevention specialist with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I'm on assignment with the Washington, D.C. STD Control Program. Today I'll be presenting on an evaluation of novel internet-based partner notification program. I would like to acknowledge the contributions of Dr. Sions, Mr. Jackson, and Dr. Furness for their contributions in data management, partner elicitation, and overall program implementation. The objective of this abstract was to evaluate the first 10 months of the Washington, D.C. STD Control Program's novel internet-based partner notification program, which went into effect in March 2007. In the short time we have, I'll touch base on the background of IPN, the methods that we use to evaluate the program, our results, and our conclusions. Thanks to Howard Brown's earlier presentation, I only need to briefly touch on IPN. Specifically, we pulled 2005 syphilis case files and determined that many syphilis patients were using the internet to meet sex partners, and thus we were able to justify the need to create an IPN protocol. In March 2007, we completed our IPN protocol and began notifying partners of early syphilis cases via email. IPN is a case management tool that uses internet locating information, for example, email addresses, to notify partners of individuals who have been diagnosed with an STD. In DC, we are currently using IPN only with syphilis case management. Specifically, while interviewing the syphilis patient, we elicit sex partners and their corresponding locating information. We cut field records on all partners with locating information, meaning we investigate all those partners. However, we send partner notification emails only to sex partners for whom the only identifying information is an email address, or for whom traditional field investigations have failed. For example, they were not located by home visit or by telephone call. To evaluate the IPN program's first 10 months, we analyzed STD disposition codes of sex partner field records that resulted from interviews with early syphilis patients. We reviewed all field records of primary, secondary, and early latent syphilis cases that had at least one internet partner and were initiated between March and December 2007. We use the disposition codes found on CDC's field record. If over the course of the investigation we acquired physical locating information, we used the traditional disposition codes of A through K. If, however, we did not obtain physical locating information, we coded the field record as L. However, we added an IPN local field to the field record to capture more specific IPN data. Specifically, if the sex partner entered into a conversation with us, either by phone or by email, and it was confirmed that he had read the syphilis exposure information we had sent him, the field record was coded as L1. If we could confirm that the patient had read STD information, exposure information, the field record was coded as L2. And finally, if there was no confirmation that the sex partner received exposure information, the field record was coded as L3. To work with the data, we exported files from STDMIS, data sets were merged in Microsoft Access, and data was analyzed in SAS. There were 23 early syphilis cases with at least one internet partner. In those 23 cases, there were 474 field records that were initiated. 151 were initiated by home visit or by telephone, and 323 were initiated by email. Of those 323, 47 resulted in identifying other locating information, like the patient name, date of birth, and phone number. For the remaining 276, additional locating information was not obtained. For the next few slides, we will focus on the 323 IPN field records. The average number of internet partners elicited was 14, 12 cases had one internet partner elicited, and 6 cases had more than 10 internet partners. For the purposes of this presentation, I'm going to define two categories of email systems that we use for partner notification of the 323 partners. The two categories are open email systems and closed email systems. Most of us are familiar with email and open email systems. They allow us to communicate with most everyone, from family to friends to work colleagues. Specifically, on my Yahoo account, I can receive emails from someone who has a Gmail account, for example. And I can also send emails to a person with a Gmail account. While most of us are intimately familiar with open email systems, not all of us might know about closed email systems. You might also call them social networking sites or intranet websites or proprietary email systems. The point is that in closed email systems, you must be members of that website to be able to send emails to other members. You cannot email from that account to someone who uses Hotmail, for example. You can also send an you can also not send an email from Hotmail to one of those sites, like Adam for Adam. That said, by far in DC, we sent most emails within closed email systems, especially Adam for Adam and Manhunt. The number of emails sent to open email systems totaled 41. The four websites on the left, Adam for Adam, BGC Live, Manhunt, and Men for Now, are closed email systems that we have sent emails through. The Washington, D.C. STD Control Program created member accounts on these closed email systems and thus sent emails to partners through these respective accounts. The six open email systems were AOL, Gay, Gmail, Hotmail, Mac, and Yahoo. The Washington, D.C. STD Control Program sent emails to open email systems via its D.C. government email account. Of the 323 Internet Partner field records initiated, 47 ended up with physical locating information, reflected in the first six columns. Of those, 18 were epi-treated for their syphilis exposure. Three were infected with syphilis and brought to treatment. In one of those cases, we had a phone conversation with a patient about a syphilis exposure. He agreed to go to his primary care physician later in the week. He didn't have any symptoms that we had reviewed at that time. However, the next day, he called us back about a rash he had developed on his chest. We were able to send him to a community clinic that evening where he was diagnosed with secondary syphilis. Fortunately, he recognized the symptoms, perhaps because of the conversation we had the day before. In contrast to this infected patient, there were 18 patients who were out of the incubation period and tested negative. And of the 276 field records with internet-specific dispositions represented in the last three columns, it can be confirmed that 85 were notified of a syphilis exposure, 106 were notified of an STD exposure. For the remaining 85 field records, we either had incorrect email addresses or we could not confirm if the patient received the email. It is important to note that even though we sent most of our emails or more of our emails to Adam for Adam, the majority of our traditionally favored A, E, and F dispositions came from communications with Manhunt members. Compared to Adam for Adam members, Manhunt members seem to be more open about their sexuality and more responsive to our emails. We use traditional case management evaluation indices to evaluate the effect of IPN on the 23 cases that we had at least one internet partner for. To illustrate this, we produced this chart, which has four evaluation indices running vertical on the left side. The contact index is determined by dividing the total number of contacts by the total number of cases. The disease intervention index is the number of cases with at least one treated partner divided by the number of cases. The new treatment index is the total number of treated partners divided by the total number of cases. And finally, the new exam index is the total number of partners total number of cases. On the top of this chart, running horizontally, we have four columns. In order to highlight the impact of IPN, we compare the results of field records initiated by telephone and or home visit, represented in the first column of data in red, to those field records initiated by IPN, represented in the second column in green. The third column in aqua lists the total by combining the red and green columns. The fourth column in white identifies Washington, D.C. specific program goals. In summary, you can see that the contact index more than tripled because of IPN. The disease intervention index increased by 37%, the new treatment index more than doubled, and the new exam index doubled. The take-home message of this chart is that IPN did improve important case management indices. Of the 276 field records with internet-specific dispositions, meaning we didn't have traditional locating information, 85 partners emailed or called us to find out disease-specific information, and thus likely sought medical attention. Of those 85, five self-reported to have gone to their primary care physicians and were epi-treated, one self-reported to have been infected and treated, 29 said they were not infected, and 50 did not continue further communication with us. In conclusion, without IPN, over 300 sex partners within the last 10 months would not have been investigated by the Washington, D.C. STD Control Program. IPN augments traditional syphilis case management, aiding in location, notification, testing, and treatment of partners, which has been shown here to improve traditional case management indices in Washington, D.C. I would like to acknowledge the numerous individuals and organizations that have made it possible for us to initiate IPN. Thank you. Well, that's a good question. In closed email systems, in Manhunt and Adam for Adam, there's actually, you can say, when you send an email, it saves it for a certain amount of time. And those saved emails, you actually, the actual email, or the listing that you've sent, changes colors when someone has read that email. So that's how you can tell if someone's read your email. And as far as, obviously you mentioned Outlook, and you can't, so you don't, they don't have that exact type of feature, but it's something similar. That's how I know that they read their emails. That I could list it like that. Am I choosing people?
Go ahead, and we'll get your question.
Yeah, and our first email that we send out is actually very explicit. I put it up on the slide right now. We definitely detail that this is an STD exposure. We don't detail that what disease it is. We have to get confirmation from that patient before we would. If the person emails back and says, "I need to know what this is," I will send. I'll use that as justification to send the information via email. Yeah, and that's also part with the anonymous nature of these websites and then these partners is a lot of these individuals do want to remain anonymous. So we have to a certain extent, we have to respect that wish. We don't get more specific because ideally we want them to call us. We'd actually want to follow up a little bit, give them the opportunity to call us to get that information. It's kind of a little bit of a tease, so we want them to give us a call.
All right, we've got two, have time for just a couple more, real quick. Pair of you together.
What state are you from? Okay. Obviously, there's a lot of rules and laws that you have to work with. Fortunately, we have permission to do this in D.C. I know there are other jurisdictions that don't. I know there are also other places, even Howard Brown, I believe, I'll speak for them right now. But I believe that at some point they were doing more general emails saying that it's a health exposure type of situation.
I think we can return to this issue when we have time for board questions because of specificity. What goes into notification, whether that's a referral card in print or an email, it certainly varies both internationally as well as nationally. And I think it's an important topic in sort of devising an effective notification program. All right, we're going to have to close questions on this one for now, but we'll make sure we get to you later. Right, thank you very much.